in Africa, there's a little monkey called a Gibbons monkey. It's very small, very quick, has great eyesight. And if you were to hunt the Gibbons monkey, you wouldn't be able to walk up on it or sneak up on it and even shoot it from a far distance, because it would hear you coming, see you coming, and run. So a successful hunter walks through the woods, and he has a coconut that's hollow with a hole in it. It's a fake metal coconut. Has a chain attached to it, and the chain has a spike at the end, and he nails the spike into the bottom of a tree. And he puts the coconut, he nails it into the tree, puts the coconut on the ground, and he puts rice and candy in the hole, in the coconut. Then he walks away. So the Gibbons monkey comes down, and he sees the coconut, and it says, it looks real good. Then he can smell the rice and candy inside, and it smells real good to him. So he goes over to it, and he hits it, and he can hear the rice go, shh. It sounds real good. So the monkey says, I'm going to get me some. So he sticks his hand in the coconut and gets a handful of rice and candy. But when he tries to pull his hand out, he can't get his hand out of the hole because his hand's full of rice and candy. So he starts trying to crack the coconut without realizing it's a metal fake coconut. Then he tries to bite the chain, but teeth can't break metal. He tries to pull the stake out of the ground, but it's nailed into the root of the trees. And he's just standing all day trying to break this thing. And he's got this candy and rice in his hand, but he won't let it go. And the hunter comes by hours later, and he walks through the woods, and all through the woods, all these monkeys with their hand of coconut, screaming. And he just walks very calmly, just shoots them. Boom, boom, boom. The only thing that monkey had to do to get free was to let go. That's it. If you want to experience the full benefit of lordship, you got to let go. You saw that guy wouldn't let go of that ring. That ring was power. That ring was, he wanted control over that ring. He wanted control of the power of the ring and the influence of the ring. If we're going to walk with God and experience the full benefits of lordship, we're going to have to let go of control of our life. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are so patient with us. You want to bless us so much. And we pray that you would challenge us and teach us to let go today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to The Rock. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew 19. I know your lesson plan says something different. Matthew 19. And as you turn there, I want to congratulate all the people who successfully survived last week. Amen. Amen. If you are in your fast, and we're now going to break the fast this week, let me give you some really strong counsel. Do not go to hometown buffet today. Don't go to In-N-Out. Don't eat any. Don't do what you did the first week, you know, with fruits, vegetables. Break it down slow. But if you think, you know, walk out of here and start, you're going to be sick in minutes. You're going to be doubled over. And two, before you break your fast, please, today if you can, write down what God told you. You will not hear it next week. Some of you are going to be discouraged and depressed when you start eating again. You're going to feel like God is distant from you. Okay, he's not. It's just your perception, but you're going to feel that. And you're going to feel like, you know, you went away from God and you lost it. It's not about feeling, it's about faith. But God did speak to you, and you probably sensed his presence a lot more during last week. So let me encourage you, don't go back to what you were doing before. But write down what God told you. And let's look at our notes, the lesson plan. There's a little paragraph at the top. It says, Lord of the Things is a series on personal stewardship and a guide to biblical management of the resources which God has blessed you. True lordship requires us to completely let go. Everyone say let go. Say let go. To let go and hand over control of our lives to the Lord. True lordship. Last week we said lordship requires us to be obedient. And if you were here last week, you remember me doing this. You want to be obedient. Do what God says. Don't compromise. It requires you now to let go. You can't be obedient unless you let go of control. You cannot be obedient with your own power. Has to be his power. Has to be his wisdom, his direction. Story today is about a guy, rich man, rich young ruler. He's not only rich financially, he's also got power. He's a ruler. He has achieved success at a young age. He has money. He has influence. He has political power. So we're going to define rich as having an abundance of anything that you trust in. You could be rich in looks, you could be rich in personality, you could be rich in connections, friends, power, but just a lot of anything that you trust in. And it may not be a lot in your eyes, you just trust in it, so therefore you're rich in that. Okay? And this guy comes to Christ, and he wants to ask him how to get to each other, how to have heaven. He says, I want to go to heaven, what do I got to do? And Jesus starts to talk to him and explain to him what he has to do. But the problem comes is when Jesus confronts him with this concept of lordship. Many of us would say we want to go to heaven, we can earn heaven, all that kind of stuff, and we're good enough. But we really don't live out and experience true lordship. That concept is kind of foreign. And lordship is where God is Lord, you and I are not. He is master, owner, controller. What does that mean? Today we're going to talk about that it means completely letting go. Let's read chapter 19, verse 16. It says, behold, one came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may enter into life? And he says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. And you know, so true lordship requires that you let go of, one, your attempt to earn heaven by doing good instead of receiving salvation by faith. You have to let go of the concept that I am a good person and I can do something good to earn heaven. It may sound like a very, it may sound like semantics to you. Oh, don't we do good things? This guy came and said, Lord, what good thing may I do? Because I'm a good guy, as we're going to see in a minute. What good thing may I do that I may get to heaven? You can't do anything good to get to heaven. It's not about your goodness. You and I are sinners. You have to let go of the concept that you can do good on your own, or I can just tell you what to do, and you can just do good things, and all of a sudden to earn heaven. This guy had an interest in heaven, which was a very noble thing. No one wants to go to hell. Anybody, as a matter of fact, let me take a poll. Anybody in here, this is what I just want to clarify. If you want to go to hell, raise your hand. Okay. We'll find out how bad you don't want to go to hell. If you want to go to heaven, find out. Raise your hand. Want to go to heaven? You don't have to think about that, okay? This is a trick question. Okay. Everyone wants to go to heaven. If you think or know you're not perfect, that you never make all the right moves, you never make all the right mistakes, you always make mistakes, raise your hand. Okay? That's why we need to let go. Because we all make mistakes. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. In other words, there's a way that seems right to me to spend my time. But you know what? Not always right. There's a way that seems right to me to spend my money. You're not always right. There's a way that's right to me to when I read my Bible and what I should obey and when I should pray. But you're not always right. There's a way that's right to me to how to raise my kids, how to treat my wife, how to treat my husband. There's a way that's right to me. But the Bible says, in the end, it leads to death. That verse applies to every area of our life. Why? Because we are completely sinful. We make mistakes in all areas of our life. Matter of fact, let's take another poll. Is anybody in here can say, I do everything right all the time in any area of your life? Not life as a whole, in any area. Your diet, what you say, what you think, what you wear. Are you ever always right in anything, even in your profession? Nobody. Now, some of you may be wanting to raise your hand. I mean, you might have done that and then looked and saw no one else was doing that. I need to encourage you. You're not right all the time. Now, you may say nobody is. Exactly. We're all sinners. God is right all the time. That's why we have to let go of this concept that I can earn faith. I can earn heaven on my own. This guy had this concept, what good thing may I do? And Jesus is getting ready to rock his world. So let go of that, and you have to receive it by faith. Salvation is a gift of God, and he offers it to you. The only thing you have to do is receive it on his terms. Allow him to transform your life, cleanse your heart. But you have to let go of your concept, because what's going to happen is you're going to begin to do things on your own. What did the devil say to Eve? First sin in the Bible, when sin entered the world. What did Satan say to Adam and Eve? Listen, if you eat from the tree, what do he say? You can know good and evil on your own. You could decide. You could be your own God. Only God decides what good and evil is. You can do that without God. We do that every day. It Lordship says, no, I'm putting God back on the throne of my life. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, Jesus says, so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God, and that is, but one, and that is God. The next thing you have to let go of is your concept that Jesus is only a teacher, and you must accept Jesus as G-O-D, God. Now, I want to tell you a little story. I was watching this video on creation the other day, 3 or 4 times, and was talking about the humpback whale, his tongue, the weight of an elephant. Heart, 2,000 pounds. I was like, my God. I was screaming in my house. It's like God, when God makes that stuff, he goes, how can anyone doubt that there's someone very intelligent? Matter of fact, this whale is 70 feet long, and when it goes down under the water, it goes like 500 feet a minute. And you have to understand that at every 12 feet, the amount of pressure on your body or whatever you are changes. Well, this whale is 70 feet long. So every 12 feet, there's a different pressure on his body. How does his blood vessels adjust? They have an internal mechanism that adjusts the pressure and fights against the pressure at different parts of his body at different times. Where'd that come from? An amazing God and the Son of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all equally God. You cannot look at Jesus as some teacher, as some role model. Matter of fact, we're going to have one Easter service at Cox Arena, the whole church, one service all day on Easter. We want to get 10,000 people. And right after that Sunday, we're going to do a whole series on who was Jesus really. And you're going to know. We're going to talk about all the cults and all the different views of who Christ is. Let me tell you something. Whenever you witness to anybody in any cult, any false religion, all you have to be able to discuss is who is Jesus. That's it. Because if Christ was not born of a virgin, as the Bible said he would, was not born in the town the Bible said he was, did not live the life he lived, was not betrayed for a certain price of money as the Bible predicted, was not crucified as the Bible predicted, if the people at the cross didn't say what the Bible predicted, if the people at the cross didn't divide his clothes as the Bible predicted, if his disciples didn't run as his Bible predicted, if he wasn't beat as the Bible predicted, if he didn't was buried in a tomb, rose from the dead, as the Bible predicted. If all that's not true, guess what? Jesus is not the Lord. This Bible is false. We shouldn't even be here. It all relies on Christ being God. You have to get out of your mind, one, I can earn heaven on my own. You have to get out of your mind, two, that Jesus is just a teacher. You cannot approach Christ as a peer. You have to approach Christ as he is God, not as some enlightened man who got it. He was God. And you are not. He is holy, and you are not. He is all good, and you and I are all sinful. Does that mean you can't do good things? No. And let me tell you something. Being all sinful doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be in your behavior. You're just as bad off as you can be in your condition. I'm going to say that again. Being a sinner doesn't mean you are as bad as you can be in your behavior. It means you are as bad off as you can be in your condition. You know, one of the harsh realities of sports, and we saw with the Chargers that, you know, they had a great season, they went into the playoffs, and as soon as the last playoff game was over, their season was over. It was over. It was done. No, there's no negotiating. They're still in shape. They still know all the plays. They still can play. But as soon as the game ended, I think it was January 8th, whatever it was, their season was over. Period. They'll never get it back. Had nothing to do with whether they could play football. Had nothing to do with whether they were in shape, whether they knew their plays, whether they even qualified. The season was over. When you're a sinner, doesn't matter whether you're doing. It matters what you are. You're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, Christ can't accept you into heaven. But only by faith, by you surrendering your sinful self to him. Because you and I are sinful beyond what we know. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I do not understand how sinful we are. Have you ever offended somebody and you didn't know it until they told you a week or two later? And then when you heard it, you were like, oh, how did I do that? But the whole week that you didn't know it, you were walking around, oh, golly gee. That whole week that you didn't know it, they were still hurt. They were just as offended as they were when they told you you did it. But just because you didn't know it doesn't mean that you didn't do it. There's so much sin about us that we don't even know. And when we find out, oh, but if God was to show you all of it, you would die of depression. That quick. That's my opinion. But you would be overwhelmed. Number two. Number three. You must let go of settling for common religion and instead pursue holiness. Stop settling for common religion and pursue holiness. Look what it says in verse 17. He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said, "Which ones?" Jesus says, "You shall not murder, commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said, "Oh man, I've done all that. That's it? Shoot, I can do that. All these things I even did when I was little." Jesus says, okay, cowboy. If you really want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Now, let me clarify what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying that all of y'all got to give everything away and give to the sell to the poor, but Jesus knew where this brother lived. That's an expression. I'm not talking about his address. I'm talking about where his heart was. Your heart is where your treasure is. And Jesus says, "You know what? I know one area in your life that you won't let go to the Lordship of me because you doing good things, not killing anybody. That's okay. But following me and submitting to Lordship is a whole other deal, young man. It's about opening your hands and letting go of that rice, letting go of that ring. Of the most precious thing in your life, I want it." What's the most precious thing in your life? It may not be your money. It may be your food. Some of you ain't giving up In-N-Out. I'm not trying to tell you to give up In-N-Out because, you know, I understand. I understand. I'm not giving up my shopping. You may have to give up your shopping. Why? I don't know. Maybe you spend too much money on clothes you don't wear. Maybe you spend too much time on the phone talking to people about nothing you shouldn't be talking about. Maybe you gossip too much. Maybe you criticize people too much. Maybe you're too negative. What do you got to give up? God wants you to give up everything, but he begins with this brother with the one thing he knew he would hold on to more than anything else. Because if you can give up that, you can give up anything else. Some of y'all learned the last week. Some of you learned in the last week. You don't need to eat like you think. Amen? Amen? And you also learned that there's a whole lot of other stuff in your life you don't need. Amen? Uh-huh. You don't need to watch TV all day and night. You don't need to watch ESPN over and over and over the same night. But I understand. I understand. You know what Jesus said to this guy? He says, stop settling for going to church every couple weeks. Stop settling for giving $2. Stop settling for not serving and trying to get by. Stop settling for having the church do everything for you instead of you asking what you can do for the God. Stop settling for reading the Bible one verse every other day. Stop settling for reading a devotional. Oswald Chambers, great books. Stop selling for that's all you do. Don't let someone else digest the word for you and that's it. Stop settling for that. Read and study the word on your own. Talk to people around Christ. Stop settling for not doing what you feel uncomfortable doing. I was watching this commercial yesterday. This guy was in a gym and he got on the scale and the scale said 249 pounds. He gets off the scale, puts headphones on, he does this one time. He runs around the gym one time, gets back on the scale and it says 249. And he hits the scale like, what's the problem? I worked out. No, he didn't. God ain't like that. You know what? God wants everything. God wants everything. Why? Because he deserves everything. Why? Because what he's trying to take from you, he's, as the guy in the video said, he's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to bless you. There's a drug called propylene. They sell on TV. And I don't know if propylene works. I don't know if it's, obviously it's legitimate. The FDA approved that they sell it, and I don't know if it works. I don't know if it's healthy for you, but I can tell you the whole concept is unbiblical. Here's the concept. Take this pill, don't change your diet at all, and you'll lose weight. And they have people there. I kept eating everything. I always eat ice cream, blah, blah, blah. I'm just poisoning my body, putting all this junk in it, and the weights, the pounds just fall off. Now, you may be saying, well, if it works, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it is many things. One, why would you want to eat anything, whether it's good or bad for you, anyway? Number one. Number two, the whole concept that I can do anything I want, and one, not suffer consequence, and two, benefit, is unbiblical. You can't do anything you want without having any consequence and benefit. It's wrong. But that's how our world thinks. Matter of fact, the whole reason they made the pill, one of the reasons I believe, we have a society that's like right now, gimme, 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 gimme. I don't want to wait. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Holiness is the opposite. Total inconvenience. Give it all up. You have to let go of the concept that I could just be whatever. I could be mediocre. No, no, no. Give your whole lordship requires you to let go of everything and surrender completely to Jesus that you may do everything he says. And it's a process that you grow in and be more efficient and more effective as your life goes on. Number four, let go of pursuing satisfaction from earthly riches. Instead, invest in the kingdom. Now, what does this mean? Earthly riches is not only cash, it's houses, it's pride, it's power, it's moving up in the company and have more and more people work under you. All that is earthly riches. It's trying to always be the cutest, the smartest, the most talented. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with staying in shape. There's nothing wrong with looking good if you can look good. There's nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with buying a nice house. The problem is when you love those things more than love God. And the problem is when you won't let those things go as quick as God asked you. That's the problem. Like that guy in the video, oh, it's mine, it's mine. It's not yours. Your house is not yours. Nothing you have is yours. Go home. I've said this 100 times, but it's so effective, I'll say it again. Go home and tell God, this is mine, and you can't take it. Let's take another poll. Anybody have the courage to do that today? Because we want to pray for you. It's not God's. It's not God's. Three areas we want to challenge you in. Invest in the kingdom. One, your time. Write down in that first space, 31 million, eight, there's going to be eight numbers, 31,536,000. That's 315,360,000 or 525,600. 525,600. You are given 31,536,000 seconds every year. You are given 525,600 minutes every year. Every day you are given 86,400 seconds every day. What do you do with them? How much of that time do you spend talking on the phone about junk? How much of your time do you spend sitting in front of the tube? Well, you could be reading a book. You could be calling someone to encourage you. You could be studying the Word. How much of that time do you spend doing stuff that has nothing to do with you growing closer to God and becoming more effective to serve Him? At your job. At your place of recreation. At your home. How much time is wasted? We all know, the older we get, we look back on our life and go, man, I wasted years. Amen? High school, I mean, I was not a good student. Not because I couldn't. I just didn't do it. I wasted. I mean, my senior year, I probably cut class once every day, almost every day of the whole senior year. I was an idiot. Wasting time, walking around, getting high, walking in the hallways. If I went to every class, I felt like I failed. How could I not cut at least one class today? What was I thinking? Wasted. All college. Wasted. Wasted. Don't waste your time. Say, God, thank you for This time, it's only when people die do we cherish that time. If only when people die that we ask, can I have 5 minutes? I wish I could have 5 minutes with my grandfather. 5 minutes, that's it. To tell him things I wish I would have told him before he was laying in his deathbed. 5 minutes. You know what? Take that 5 minutes today. Tell your kids you love them. Hug them. Tell your wife you're sorry. Fellas, we all got something we got to say sorry about. Amen? And if you don't know what it is, just ask her. She'll tell you. Number two, tithe. Write down 10%. 10%. 10%. Write these verses down. Write down Genesis 14:20. Genesis 14:20. Abraham had just defeated 10 kings in battle, and he had all these spoils, food, animals, clothing, and he met a guy named Melchizedek, and the Bible says he gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. When we say tithes and offering, a tithe literally means a tenth. Tenth of my money? Absolutely. It's mine. No, it's not. God is letting you keep 90% of his money. And he wants 10% back. Now you say, well, is it 10% of my gross or 10% of my net? Which one do you want God to bless? I want to bless my gross. There's more upside in gross. How do I do that? By faith. Surrender your finances to the lordship of Christ. We see tithing also in Malachi or Malachi. Write down Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I, chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Malachi, it's the last book in the Old Testament. He says, you rob God. How we rob God? In tithes and offerings. You haven't bring the whole tithe. You're robbing God. You're keeping to yourself what is not yours. And Jesus also talked about it. You just write down Luke chapter 11, verse 42. This is the hardest concept for Christians to accept because the money is the last thing we give to God. Let me tell you something. Test God, he says in Malachi. If I will not pour out blessing, that your vats will fall overflow. Here's my challenge to you. Start faithfully tithing and watch what happens. God, it's the only time in the Bible God says, test me. It's the only time in the Bible God says, test me. Do it for 30, 60, 90 days. Watch what happens. God says, test me and watch what I do. Even a tip, you tip a waitress 15%. Actually, it's 20%. Is it 20? My bad. That's probably why the waitress is like, pastor, 15%. That's what God says to us. Oh, you're going to tip me? You know, the average Christian in America, when they average all the churches out, the average person per person is 3%, less than one-third of what we're supposed to be doing. If this church tied 1.1%, that's $1 million a year. 10%? Ooh. We're off the chart. That building? No problem. Ministry? No problem. Next one. Look in your notes. Ministry. Time, tithe, and your talent. Serve in ministry. I want to tell you something. We have a parking problem. Do I need to tell you that? Do I need to tell you that? Here's what I need you to do. One, be very patient in the parking lot because there's a lot of cars. We're blessed. There's people sitting in the back on the floor right now. So here's what we need to do. Two things. We need volunteers to help with the parking ministry. Many of you come every week, and I want you to think about this. You come every week, you park, you come in, and you leave. My challenge to you is to come and say, what can I do to help serve the body? Because the people who park you, they're just like you. They're volunteers. And so I would challenge you, after service, go to the information and say, I want to volunteer for parking. One service, however they do it. You're not going to be there all day, every day. You're going to be able to go to church. Serve. It's not hard. You can do this. Some of you can even put some of that in there. I'm going to ask. We also have a space problem. There's people sitting in the back. the 8 o'clock service is not as full. And I want to challenge some of you who want to facilitate new people coming to make room for them here and begin going to the 8 o'clock service. If you're up anyway, and it's no big deal, let me encourage you to go to 8 o'clock. We could probably fit several hundred more people. There's more space, there's more parking, it's really nice. But here's what I want you to think about. We are here to partner with Christ so people can be saved. Amen? We're not here to say, God, make everything comfortable for me. Serve me. No, I'm here to serve you, God. I'm here to serve you. What can I do? And so I want to challenge you, get the parking ministry. Ushers, we need more ushers. We need more everything. But those two I want to focus on today. And two, if I can encourage next week, start next week, a gang of you, 500 of you, it would help. Start going to 8 o'clock so we can get more people in this service because more visitors will probably come in later at this service. And we want to get them. We don't want them sitting on the floor. Amen? Amen for y'all sitting on the floor? Amen, amen, okay. I know what they're thinking. I'm coming earlier next week. Forget that, man. Sorry. I'm getting in the front row. Next, after Super Bowl, we are going to start a series called The Salvation Army. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a person of the rock. Four words that start with A-R-M-Y. I'll tell you what those are in a few weeks. We want to decorate this place like military. So if you have any access to military stuff, camouflage, netting, helicopters, jeeps, zombies, mortar shells, you know, ammo crates. I'm serious. The sandbags, anything. Gear, stuff to wear. Please go to the back and talk to Carly or to call the church because we want to get some of that stuff, okay? If you can lend it to us for 6 weeks. What are you doing with the talent God has given you? What are you doing with the intelligence God has given you? What are you doing with the understanding and wisdom God has given you? What are you doing with your ability to do video, sound, organize stuff, create stuff, encourage people? How are you serving the kingdom with those things? Lastly, you must let go of your concept that lordship is too hard. And instead, remember, God believes in you. I was watching Rocky yesterday. I don't know why, because I'm not a big Rocky fan, but Rocky wanted to fight Apollo Creed for the second time. His eye was all messed up. His doc said, you can't fight anymore. But he was without boxing, he was nothing. And Adrian, she wouldn't let him. Rocky, please don't, please don't. It's a character. It's a character. Flow with me. She's a character. She did a great job of that role. But she was, she had her baby. She went into a coma, came out of the coma. Rocky was sitting by the bed. And Rocky had decided while she was in a coma he wasn't going to fight. He said, Adrian, well, you know, if you don't want me to fight. He was a bonehead, too, by the way. Not too. She wasn't a bonehead. He was. But if you don't want me to fight, you know, I won't do it. And I don't know if you remember what she said. I was crying yesterday. I don't know why I was crying. I literally started crying. It must be the fast. I don't know. I'm getting in touch with my feminine side or something. I don't know. But I was watching this, and she says, I knew she was going to say something, but I couldn't remember what it was. And she says, come here. And he's like, what's she going to say? You know what she said? Win. She didn't say go fight. She didn't say box. She said win. Win. And as soon as she said the second win, and Mick was in the room. He's like, what are we waiting for? He was like, right now, before she changed her mind. Come to church every week. I can't read my Bible every day. I can't understand it. I can't give money. I can't serve. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God says he will never tempt you beyond what he will strengthen you to do. Never. He will never put a biblical requirement on you that's bigger than what you can handle. Never. It's all up to you to say, by faith, I'm going to do it. Lordship has to let go. Let go of all your complaints and walk by faith. I can't not eat for a week. Yes, you can. I can't not give up coffee. Yes, you can. And if you didn't, you should have. And you can do it. For the week, you know, I'm not saying you had never drink coffee again, even though it's no good for you, but I'm not saying you have to don't drink it. But don't say you can't. You can. I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. And anything Christ calls you to do, you can. One of the things that I was so challenged, I had a great week, but one of the things that God showed me was, he was showing me stuff that I really didn't believe. I wasn't trying hard enough to do some things. I was like, he was like, are you really trying the best to do that? I was like, huh. And he did this to me. And then we're going to pray. Some of you need to let go and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. No more playing games. No one playing church. No one playing religion. And some of y'all just need to let go and start doing what he says. No other way to say it. Let go of the control of your life. Let him be God. And you stop trying to be. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you so much, God, that you love us. Lord, there are people here today. They are ready to let go. They have been holding on, and it's so tiresome holding on. They're getting weary of holding on. And today they're saying, I want to let go. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master. If that's you, pray this prayer in the privacy of your heart by faith. By faith, pray this in your heart, not out loud. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I release control to you this morning. I acknowledge you as Lord, as God, and me as sinner. Fill me, please, with your Holy Spirit. I release control to you. If you prayed that prayer, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet and acknowledge him. And as you stand, you're letting go of worrying about who's thinking what. This is between you and God. Very good. God bless you. 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 Stand to your feet. You say, Lord, here I am. I'm letting go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you too. Stay standing, please. Good. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you right now. This is the day of salvation right now. Anybody else? Let go. Don't worry about who's to your right, who's to your left. Don't worry about what anyone's going to think. Just worry about what Jesus is thinking. Good. Good. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing as we welcome you to the family of God. We're going to ask you to step out of your seat, come down to the altar, and let's give them the hands. They come on down. Who's a man this morning? Come on. Here we go. Amen. Amen. Who's the man? God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there.
Oh, how you doing?
Stay right there. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Who's the man? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I was about to say, there's got to be one guy. It's all women. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's very simple. You hold on to the rice, you die. You hold on to what you want, what you think, what you want to do, you die. You let go and let God control your life by faith. You're not ever going to know all reasons why other than what the Bible says. He's not going to tell you everything. He's not supposed to. You've got to trust him. So in every area of your life, every day, Lord, how can I do this better? Lord, how can I do this better? You'll never have it figured out. Just keep trusting him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for them. What's your name, young lady? Joanne, you're going to be our leader in a minute. We're going to have you follow that lady right there in a second. All you got to do is follow her, and we're going to follow you. That's it. In a minute. We pray. Okay? Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We pray you bless these people. We pray you transform their hearts, their minds. We pray, Lord, as you rock their world, you heal their world. And, Lord, I pray for all of us that this week we would be more obedient than last week, and we would let go of control, and that you would... When we're taking control of our life, making the decisions we want, saying what we want, doing what we want, we would catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, I need to let go of that rice. I need to let go of that ring. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand as they walk out that way.